For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show, just on the eve of Election Day, although it's basically been election month, you'd have to say at this point. Lots of rain today. What kind of impact does that have on voter turnout for those still hoping to vote absentee in person today? And then, of course, tomorrow, same thing. We're supposed to get more rain. So I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have. Hopefully, we've banked enough votes that it's not going to make a difference. I don't know. But you always worry about those things. And now we're facing so many important issues on the ballot this year. The biggest of all, in my opinion, when you get away from the presidential race and the Senate races and all that, is Amendment Number 3, right? This is the reproductive health amendment. I call it the abortion on demand amendment. You call it what you want. What impact is this going to have potentially on the state of Missouri and maybe laws that are already in place in the state of Missouri? We got John Sauer with us this morning, former Solicitor General for Missouri, and great to have him back on here. John, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. So, you know, I noticed, I saw this the other day as well, that Jamie Reed, who was the whistleblower that helped expose what was going on at the Transgender Center over here at Washington University, she put out a very thoughtful tweet about, you know, the state of Missouri has put a ban on underage people being given this transgender puberty blockers and all that. Amendment 3 blows all that out of the water, right?
I think that's very likely. I think Amendment 3 is a Trojan horse amendment that's written these extremely broad, vague terms that don't signal to the voters that they're doing things like, you know, creating a fundamental right to transgender care and sex reassignment surgery. But it's also written in a way that's calculated to maximize the chances that the courts are going to hold that after the election if it passes. So if you look at the phrase, all matters relating to reproductive health care, which is the right that's created in Section 2 of the amendment, the question is, are the courts going to say that transgender treatment, sex reassignment surgery, things of that nature, are those reproductive health care? Yeah. Well, to the ordinary voter, they don't see the word transgender in there, so it doesn't set off an alarm bell. But if you look at legal sources, if you look at federal statutes and regulations, if you look at the way that medical authorities, including Planned Parenthood itself, use the phrase reproductive health care, they pretty consistently use it in a way that includes transgender treatments. So if you go into the ballot box and you pull the lever for Amendment 3, very likely you're voting for a fundamental right to transgender treatments for minors, even children, including sex reassignment surgery.
You have to wonder if more of these clinics would then pop up, right? They're just kind of waiting for this to happen, for it to be enshrined in our state constitution.
I think that's a significant foreseeable consequence of this. And of course, to an extent, many of those clinics really did pop up in the last few years because, of course, Planned Parenthood went into sort of transgender treatments in a really big way. Planned Parenthood, a huge proponent and supporter of Amendment 3, is already gone heavily into the transgender treatment business, which is a very profitable business. So if you're a voter and you like to follow the money, that money should lead you to Planned Parenthood's website, where they use the phrase reproductive health care to include gender-affirming care.
Wow. Yeah, and we've already talked about some of the other potential risks here, John, including parents losing control. You know, their kid can't take a Tylenol at school, but it certainly looks like there's wording in here that would allow their kids' pronouns to be changed, a variety of different things that they would potentially lose control over.
And that's exactly correct. That should be a grave concern for all Missouri voters. For example, the rights are conferred on persons. Missouri law in the criminal code and the probate code and the Dictionary Act consistently uses persons to include children from infancy, even unborn children, all the way through up through death. So person, make no mistake, this amendment is conferring rights on children, including minors. And what are those rights that are conferred? It's a right to late-term abortions. That's in Section 4 of the amendment, as well as Section 2. It's a right to transgender treatments. And it says that the state cannot infringe on any persons. Keep in mind, that's children and minors. Cannot infringe on any person's autonomous decision-making. So that's going to be cited to invalidate any kind of parental notification or parental consent requirement before children can get an abortion, before children can get a sex, you know, transgender treatments, hormone therapy, even sex reassignment surgery. So this is a broadly phrased and potentially radical amendment.
The fact that this would be enshrined potentially in our state constitution if people vote yes on this, I don't know if people understand the gravity of that. This isn't like, you know, the state legislature is voting on this. I mean, this is something that's going to be in our state constitution, and you'd have to do another initiative petition, whole, you know, shenanigans, basically, to get it reversed, right? Get it back on the ballot.
That's exactly right. And that's a very important point that some of the commentators on the other side have been missing or misrepresenting. Any statute that we have, for example, you referred to the statute that currently bans certain treatments for minors. Once an amendment to the Constitution is passed, it automatically supersedes and invalidates any statute that's inconsistent with it. So if this is put into the Constitution itself, the legislature can't pass statutes creating all these common sense rules and regulations and requirements and affirming parents' rights to the extent the courts hold that it's inconsistent with what's now in our Constitution. So that's a grave risk that the voters should weigh.
Yeah. John Sauer is our guest. Now, John, I know that you've represented President Trump, I believe, in the immunity case, correct?
Yes, unrelated to the current discussion. I did have the privilege of doing that.
Yeah. And I just wondered, I mean, do you have any feeling for how things are going around the country and leading up to tomorrow?
Well, I'm on the legal side. I'm not in the political side, and don't talk to the political side. So this is just the humble opinion of a voter who gets his news from the same sources as everybody else. But I'm very optimistic. I think that our country is looking at the radical overreaches of the last 4 years, which Amendment 3, I point out, is completely consistent with those radical overreaches. It's a really a furtherance at the state level of the radical overreaches we saw from the Biden administration. And I think the voters across the country, common sense Americans, are going to repudiate all that.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. John Sauer, listen, we really appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. John Sauer, a former Solicitor General from Missouri. He was with Will Scharf on that immunity case for Donald Trump as well. So
you forget that Trump is still facing all of these.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? It's so we've been so focused on the election.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that's going to determine what potentially could happen to him because he's elected.
And I was just looking, a friend of mine just sent me this morning, just before the top of the hour, a video over at the Daniel Boone Library there in Ellisville.
Mm-hmm.
And he is among the first people in line, but the rain is pouring. They've all got umbrellas out, and they're probably, this was as of 6:45, only about six people in line over there this morning. So I wonder if the weather is having an impact.
You know, it's funny. I feel like the Democrats would be the ones to try to hand out like Kamala Harris umbrellas. And then they would say you can't have those. And then you'd hear the story on, you know, the nightly news, KSDK, KMOV, saying they don't want you to have umbrellas. They want to force you to stand in the rain and get soaking wet.
That is absolutely.
They hate you.
Have a Harris umbrella. We'll cover you. We got you covered.
Oh, my gosh. What a line.
Right?
Yeah.
We got you covered. The Republicans don't want us to cover you. That's exactly what
they want you
what
to suffer.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to real or fake news as the reigning champion. I am looking forward to that. Carl Middleman,
come on, give me a break.
Standing by. Mark Lotter is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to get his thoughts on Election Day Eve. We'll be right back.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.